Honorable members, you are warmly welcome in this meeting of the 22nd of March, a day after a big day of human rights, the 21st of March. I hope we all celebrated that day well, those who went to celebrations and meetings and stuff like that. You are warmly welcome to this meeting. The officials of the portfolio committee, Valerie and the other officials, you are also warmly welcome to this meeting. Officials of the department led, of course, by Mayor Ranzu, you are also welcomed. Are we having media people here, Valerie?
Chair, as you know, the meeting is streamed on YouTube, a live stream this morning. So the YouTubers are online. Those are the only media people that I'm aware of.
Thank you very much. Let me also extend a hand of warm welcome to our guest this morning from Okahlamba, led, of course, by Mr. Lias. You are warmly welcome to our meeting. We will give you an opportunity to present in some few minutes from now. Valerie, I have not noted two written apologies, an apology by Minister and Acting DG who are held up in another meeting with the SCOPA. And of course, you have just raised a possible apology by the Deputy Minister because of the bereavement in her family. Has Mr. Sithole apologized, Valerie?
Yes, Chair, as usual, Mr. Sithole always contact us in advance when he's attending the tourism meeting that is scheduled at the same time. And we also, Chair, have an apology from Ms. Mashlati, who also have a bereavement in the family. She's currently on family responsibility leave as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Valerie. I think those are the apologies. Let me now move on and allow item one, briefing on a petition from residents of Okahlamba local municipality all the way from KwaZulu Natal province, calling on the assembly to investigate the state of roads in their municipality. Valerie, a short brief before I allow them.
In terms of what, Chair, I just need to be more specific.
This item.
Yes, Chair. This petition was referred to the committee and tabled in September last year. So now finally the committee has time to meet with the community. In terms of the petition, as members may be aware of, since I forwarded it, the petition was sent to the National Assembly to report for consideration. So in terms of process, Chair, the committee has to consider the petition and report to the National Assembly on it. So at the end of this process, whatever process the committee is going to follow to process the petition, which in previous committees meant a meeting with the people who made the petition and going on oversight to the area, and after that make recommendations to the House in terms of the way forward for the petition. So it was forwarded, it was tabled by Mr. Lees. After that, the committee sent a letter to invite the community to brief the committee on the petition. And today, Chair, is the meeting that was set up to now hear what the details are of that petition and also to determine a way forward in how to process it so that the committee reports back to the House on the outcome of all the engagements and the way forward.
Thank you very much. I thought you'll also indicate that we have set aside about 30 minutes for the presentation by Mr. Lees and the team. I've already welcomed them. Let me allow Mr. Lees to have his opening remarks and introduce his team. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's great to be in your committee for change, as I should be in the SCOPO committee with your minister, who's talking there about PRASA and the problems there. But it's great to be with you. Thank you for having us and making us feel welcome. Mr. Chairman, you have a very difficult portfolio to deal with. Roads in South Africa need a lot of attention, and we all know that. But in particular, we're looking today at roads in an area which you say you are familiar with, which is great, and it's just across the mountains from your home. And it's an area which relies heavily on tourism and agriculture for its economy, but it has a very, very high level of unemployment. Sadly, during the apartheid years, many South Africans who are black were forcibly settled in areas along the mountains there where there's no real economic activity, and they rely heavily on the tourism sector and on agriculture. And so the particularly tourism, we have obviously, as we do in many parts of the country, three types of road. There's the national roads that are looked after by SANRAL, and that particularly is the R74. And then the provincial roads like the R600 and R616, and then the district roads. So all these roads, I'm afraid, Mr. Chairman, are in a very bad state of repair. And I'll allow the team to elaborate on that. And we really are seeing a lot of economic problems with businesses and agriculture in that municipality, particularly the tourism. Now that during the lockdown in particular, when foreign travel was unable to be undertaken, we didn't get the influx of local tourists, because very often the word is out there how bad the roads are and it's not worth going down. I mean, and you'll hear later about Olifantshoek Pass, which was closed again last week. So, Mr. Chairman, I have with me today in particular Megan Benham, who's the proprietor of the Kappenberg Resort, and Councillor Thijs Jansa van Rensburg, and then members of the community from Okotlamba, not just up in the mountains. Woodstock is a suburb of Bergville, which is next door to Bedani, also near Bergville. So the situation with the roads is something that affects not just the actual proprietors of establishments, but the ordinary people. And so, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to hand over to Thijs to lead us through the presentation. I'm not sure who else he's going to be asking to do the presentation with him, but with your permission, sir, can I hand over to him?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, sir. You can hand over to him.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and honourable members of Parliament. My name is Thijs Jansa van Rensburg. I am a resident here in Okotlamba. I have been for 2 decades. I've also worked in hospitality and tourism for 2 decades. I know what a transformative industry it is for South Africa. And then I'm also a local part-time councillor. Now, I did send you a report last week on the roads. Obviously, I'm not an engineer, so it's not a technical report, but it did highlight some of the most pressing needs that we have got in this area to do with roads. Now, in the last 3 to 4 years, we have been engaging with many spheres of government, both local and provincial, about the roads. We've escalated that. We've got the press involved. But unfortunately, up until today, we did not get any meaningful resolve to our problems. And that led us to Parliament. You guys obviously provide oversight to the executive. And we come to you today, cap in hand, to ask that you please assist us. While we're going to talk about the roads today, obviously I'm not an engineer, so I cannot speak to the technical matters of it, and it is a highly technical issue, but we can speak to the humanitarian side of it. I also just want to stress that we need to please keep the following two fundamentals in mind. The first one being the fact that in rural areas, we normally only have one road. If you live in a city or an urban area, you normally can take an option to take a detour if the one road is not working, et cetera, et cetera. Where I am today in Woodstock, this community is 40 kilometers from Bergville. And for the 80,000 South Africans that live in this community, there's one road. If that road fails, they are cut off from the rest of the world. And it sort of like touches on the R74 and the Willifishuk Pass, which we have been talking about a lot lately. And a very sad turn of events, that pass was now officially closed to heavy vehicles last week. That is after we've been raising the alarm for the last 3 years as a community, concerned about that pass, concerned about the fact that there has been washaways and breakpoints on that pass. And once again, unfortunately, nothing has been done. And that also leads to the fact that we've talked about tourism extensively and the fact that the tourism industry in the Northern Berg that relies heavily on tourists from the Gauteng and the Free State area will now be cut off from this income-generating source that looks after this community. And it's not just about tourism. It's not just about the hotels and the staff. It's also about the many other industries that relies on these hotels. That's from the people that grow the food in the local communities, the artists who's there for the conferences and the entertainment, the decor companies, etc. There's a multitude of smaller businesses that all relies on tourism in Ukuklamba. The other fundamental I want to quickly just speak about is when you come to any hotel or resort in the Drakensberg, you will note that the infrastructure, the bulk infrastructure, is supplied by that establishment. The water you drink is cleaned on site. The sewage system is done on site. The electricity is provided by Eskom at great cost. So all the infrastructure we do ourselves. And the only thing we ask government normally to do is our roads, and yet it's just been an abject failure of late. So today I've got Megan. Megan Beddingham is also our tourism chair. She's going to give you the stats and stuff from tourism on the area so we can highlight the humanitarian plight. With us, Mr. Nlambi and Mr. Gabinda. They're both in transport, and after we've been to Megan, we're going to come back to me. As I said, I'm here today in Woodstock. I'm with Mr. Flongwane. I met with them probably about 6 months ago. He's a community elder, and they were complaining about the roads at that time. And I thought, well, today, if we're going to speak to Parliament and to our MPs, what a great opportunity to come back here to Mr. Flongwane for him to give an opportunity to speak to you as well. So without further ado, I'm going to give a hand over to Megan. Megan?
Good morning. Thank you very much for allowing us to present. We are very grateful for the opportunity. I am Megan Beddingham. I'm from the Drakensberg region. And it's a good morning to the chair, the honourable members and all the stakeholders. Tourism has really been badly impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And as we move out of this mess, we find a greater challenge is unfolding with our infrastructure disintegrating. We are limping into a crisis and a crisis that really can be avoided. I'm just going to focus on three things. And the first thing is jobs. In this immediate valley in the Amasisi area, there are 568 permanent positions and another 141 temporary positions at stake. A while back, we were told that every job in tourism assists another 8 individuals. So essentially, the ability to employ or not employ could affect more than 5,000 people in this rural area. Tourism really does rely on good infrastructure. We need safe roads where the access is relatively easy and tourists feel safe Sadly, the crumbling infrastructure means that tourists will choose other regions. They can't afford to be stranded on the side of the road with two flat tires. They won't jeopardize the safety of their own families, and they certainly won't return if nothing is done. The deterioration of the R74, the P304, the D119, and the R600 is of grave concern to us. We have seen how badly affected the Free State is because of the disastrous road infrastructure. Travelers reroute their holidays to avoid these areas, and every B&B, pub stall, tour driver, transport provider, and crafter misses out. Is this what is to become of the Drakensberg region? At the moment, the road through the Amazizi village to the Royal Natal National Park is in a complete state of disrepair. Potholes, washaways, and the Tugela Bridge is actually completely closed because it is dangerous. The R600 accessing the Champagne Valley, which employs about 3,000 people, is simply dangerous, with cars having to veer onto incoming traffic to avoid potholes. And collapsing culverts, sinking infrastructure, has many up in arms on the R74. And businesses are truly concerned because they're going to have to close. But tourism is more than jobs. It provides a ladder of development for many youngsters, accessing employment through tourism and starting with menial tasks and working their way up. They gain skills, they gain confidence as they grow. And while students are studying at universities, they also use hotels, lodges, activity businesses as their source of additional income during the holiday seasons. Tourism also invests in empowering communities. In the Northern Drakensberg, we have established a foundation phase school, which currently has 100 children. Children learn to read so that they can read to learn. We support 18 preschools in the Greater Amazizi District through teacher training, porridge deliveries, and resource development. And why do we get involved? Because parents here value quality education. Currently, there are more than 50 Amazizi children commuting daily to Harry Smith to attend excellent schools. The subsiding road and the collapsing culvert means that these children's future is actually at stake. Tourism is also regularly linked to conservation initiatives. One of the greatest tasks we have is to ensure that we provide for the future of our children and our children's children. And businesses can only invest in conservation if they are successful. Tourism will only survive if we look after these key spaces. It's all closely linked. And what about future jobs? Good infrastructure links towns, cities, and tourism hubs. The movement of people allows for the development of support structures such as fuel stations, fast food outlets, and even overnight accommodation. Take away the roads and the whole district will collapse. The R74 is a crucial link. It's a crucial alternative to the N3. It's the link between the Free State and KZN. It's our link to Gauteng, and it's vital for businesses. At the end of the day, repairing this network provides immediate work for our communities. And in the long run, it will mean the survival of an already battered industry. We implore you to help us, please, for jobs, for more than just jobs, but for our futures too. Thank you very much. I'm now going to hand over to Mr. Nkabindi and Mr. Nhlambi, who are from the Okahlamba municipality. They're with me here this morning, and they're just going to share a little bit about their concerns about the roads. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Megan. Mkuz.
Yeah, well.
Ninjani Mkuz.
Siyaphila, sinazole.
Uhamba nohlohlwa.
Yeah, uhamba nomahlohlwa.
Oh, nago. Asizweni ke insizwa zasekhaya nithini?
No, angibingelele mphathi wohlelo. UThemba Nkabindi lo emazizini. Ngisebenzisa umgwaqo lo P304 no-R74. Into esikhala ngayo la, singabantu abaphila emakhaya. Siphila ngokulima. Na nokutransporta iy'ngane ukuthi sikhona ukuthi sithole lo sikutholayo abantu abakhona abasebenzi. Njengoba nje sila imigwaqo siphila kuyona ungangcoba nenje impela ngoba ayikho ifile. Ngoba desho nje umamigen ukuthi imigwaqo iyamuka njenge-bridge nje eliwelela e-Rand National Park. Livaliwe imoto asebenzi and umgwaqo ozosebenzisa e-access road ayikho qobo ifile ingasenzelela nje inkosi noma kanye noma kimi noma umphathi ofese wathi kuthi osebenza temporary ongasenza imoto enifi manje obu imoto ziningi nje zihamba kulo mgwaqo lo ohamba ngasehlala nathi ngubi impela singazwa nje ingozi eningi ekudala bese kuthi oba ngike ngazi ukuthi siphila ngezolimo thina lapha kuleyani le ndawo siphila kuyona nokuthi abantu abasebenza basenza la emahotel kuthi uma ngabe kufa imigwaqo abazokwazi bahambe ngayo baye emsebenzini iy'moto sikwazi ukubathatha as sibona-ke namaprayizi ezinto zikhuphuka upetroli yinsimbi oba ney'nsimbi zakho zizokhunjwa uma ngabe namathaya adura uma ngabe iy'moto zingene emaphotoli la ziyafa kube nzima ukwathenga sigcine manje sizogqina sithatha abantu abemsebenzini ezinto esingakwazi nathi ukuwuthemba thina ngakho besingacela nje ukuthi mhlawumbe isilekeleleke kakhulu ukuthi kulunge umgwaqo kuvulelele namathuba omsebenzi njengoba nje sikhuluma nje labantu esikhuluma ngabo abasebenza emahotel izindlu zabo ziwile kumanje ngenxa yemvula akuthi abakwazi ukuthi bangabe bakwazi phela ukuthi bangazakha ngale mali abayitholayo njengamanje ngeke basasebenza isikhathi eside inyanga yonke iphelele as sibone ukuthi iy'ndlela zokuya emsebenzini azikho phela uma ungekho emsebenzini akwazi ukubona yileyo nje engakuveza nanokuthi nje imigwaqo nje ekhona nje ebhekvile yonke sesikhuluma nje ebhekvile yonke noma ngeke ngisayibala ngamagama ayikho nje yonke ngoba ke ngasho ukuthi ekuqaleni ukuthi ungagcina ungcwabe nenja kuleyo mgodi ekhona okuthi imigwaqo engekho leyo angicela ukuma nje lapho.
Chairperson, you are muted.
Thank you, Valerie. No matter what, and the corner of Nugugush.
Ngendlela kungayo akuhambeki. Isikhathi esiningi ngizama ukutransport iy'ngane zesikole kuya i-Harry Smith. Akuhambeki total kulokhu kwa-Volvo Superfast. Okuningi futhi sakushilo ngayekusiphindephinde into eyodwa.
Lungisa, senzwile. Siyabonga insizwa zasekhaya.
Yebo.
Mr. Lees, you're done with your presentation. Can I open the floor now for honorable members?
Mr. Chairman, if we could just return to Tace at Woodstock for a little further, and then I think that'll be the end of the presentation and we'll take questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask, I did send through a report to the Secretary last week. Was that report circulated to the committee?
We do have the report, yes.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I'm here with Mr. Fungwane, who I mentioned I had a meeting with him as a community elder about 6 months ago, and they were complaining about the road. So I would also like to give him an opportunity to speak to you. But then in my report is all the pictures and the videos of what the roads are currently looking like in the greater Kuklamba district. Thanks, Jay. Over to Mr. Pungwane.
Okay. Ngwane.
Yebo, ntabezitha.
Ninjani Ngwane?
Siyaphila njani nina?
Asikuzwe Ngwane.
Siyaphila njani nina?
No, sikhona. Ngithi hayi qhubeka sizwe.
Yeah, hayi impela ngumdubana wakaSongwane mina.
Ehhe.
Ngishintsha ngizayo. Hey lapha sinenkinga kakhulu into enkinga hayi kakhulu ngalazinda yethu amanzi. Eh amanzi awasekho siyahlupheka ngamanzi lapha abantwana siyahlupheka abafowethu. Angazinzi njalo. Nomgwaqo konje bade kusho laba abanye abafowethu basemazizini. Nomgwaqo awukho umgwaqo. Sihamba kabuhlungu noba kuthiwa kushona umuntu sefuneka umuntu simtatamise siyombeka le emgwaqweni station. Ngoba ayikwazi ukungena imoto ngaphakathi emzini yethu. Nabakhayo manje awukwazi ukungena amatraka akuletha isihlabathi simende sifanele uhlalele emgwaqweni njuba lina nje kanjena izulu into zethu ziyonakala ngomgwaqo ongekho la impela hey thinking nje impela enzima kabi
okay siyakuzwa ngwane siyabona well let me quickly just try and translate or is there anybody wants to quickly translate for the committee for those who cannot hear Zulu
I went away nahlalo ngizohluleka mina ukwenza ukutoleka lana
oh wena uzohluleka ukutolika okay bengithi uyasazi isiZulu kodwa ke kulungile
ngiyasazi kodwa ngisibhali angisifundi angifundanga kahle ngine disadvantage ngesiZulu
okay siyabonga I think in a nutshell Mr. Nkabinde Mr. Mhlambi Mr. Hlongwane are raising similar issues of the bad state of the road that impacts badly in terms of their transport business. They can't transport people from that area to Harrismith, as some of us uses their transport as their business to ferry people between Harrismith and Bergville and the surrounding areas. They have mentioned the bad state of roads, especially the R74 Olive Pass that has since been closed permanently since from last week. Roads like 304 and they actually say the state of the roads around that area of Bergville is shocking. Those people, they also raise an issue of water, which is beginning to be problematic. And those who are building their homes, building material cannot be accessed because trucks cannot move in and bring those building materials. As I've said, cars are unable also to utilize these routes unless you want your car to really be unroadworthy. In a nutshell, this is what the three gentlemen said. I hope I have translated what they said. In a nutshell, siyavumelana bapolisi.
Siyavumelana kodwa sokhohle into encane nje. What you forget, Mr. Chairman, was the comment made twice. I think I heard it, that the potholes are so big you can bury a dog in them.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, that is the presentation. Anyone who wants to say something so that we then move away from this item, having done what we are supposed to do. I see Honorable Chris Hunsinger, DAMP. I see Honorable Thamsanqa Mabena. That's how it is written. I see Honorable McDonald. That's how it is written. I see Honorable Nontando Nolichungu. I see Honorable Fikile Khumalo. Those are the hands I see in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much to colleague Honorable Alf Lees for introducing this very important matter, bringing it to the Portfolio Committee. Also, for the submissions that we have heard from Mrs. Megan Benningham, Councillor Thijs Janssen van Rensburg, and Mr. Themba Mhlambi. The other two gentlemen's names, unfortunately, I didn't get, but your input is appreciated, and also the translation. Thank you very much for that. I also want to commend the professional document that was submitted, which provided for information that we could read prior to this presentation. And as I gathered from the submission, there are basically four roads that have been highlighted as being critical. The R600, R74, R304, and D184. If there are others, please mention those. Or if I have the wrong road, then also please correct this. But it's rather important then to get the gist of the crisis in terms of not just mobility and transportation, but then also the effect with which this has. Now, it has been highlighted that the tourism industry has been affected to a large extent, also agriculture, that being the two main elements that's been mentioned. Has there been any attempt to quantify the economic potential loss or economic potential holdback in the fact that there isn't adequate mobility and transport available? Has there been any effort around quantifying this? What are the actual losses? We've heard of tire losses, incidents, accidents, crashes. But over and above that, the hindrance of not being able to move like one would on a normal basis. Chairperson, something which I also want to add to this subject, because it is well known that we have a huge road maintenance backlog. My concern, which I really want to put on the table, is the allocation of funding and the increments in which these allocations have been increased or not over the past 5 years. So if we look at the national allocation for SANRAL, who looks after 21,000 kilometers, the SANRAL has enjoyed an increase in budget of 21 billion rands in the last 5 years. The provinces combinedly look after 273,000 kilometers of road, and they have only enjoyed a 4 billion rand increase. So it's a 4 billion rand increase to look after 273,000 kilometers opposed to a 21 billion rand increase of SANRAL, who looks after 21,000 kilometers of road. To get a different perspective on this, SANRAL has enjoyed an increase per kilometer over the last 5 years of 600,000 rands, whereas the combined provincial responsibility in looking after 273,000 kilometers have only enjoyed a five-year increase of 18,000 kilometers. So, Chairperson, I want to add this as a underlying reason for the increase in backlog and also the availability of budget to act upon petitions like we've had to listen to this morning and that we would probably have a look at in other regions in the coming weekend, given the oversight which is scheduled. So from my side, I only have the question around the particular roads. Other than that, whether there's been any impact study on the economic potential holdback because of the lack of being able to transport goods and to move like in normal conditions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Onsinga. Uba umabhena, masiragele phambili mhlonishwa.
Ngithokoza Chairperson, ngithokoza ithuba engilithola namhlanje ekomidini ekuseni. Just to say, Chair, that it's heartbreaking to hear. Oh, first of all, let me greet our Integelizate abakhambeli bethu umphakathi uvela ngale KZN and the submission that they have made and the effort that they are here with us this morning. But just to say that it's heartbreaking that even during something as sensitive as a funeral, that the community has to remove a casket from a delegated car like a hearse, and then they have to carry it. And then they have to drop it on the other side of the community, because cars can't access those roads because of the bad conditions of those roads. It goes back to what we've been saying in terms of the provincial maintenance grants which are there, which are given by the departments, to say the time has come for us as a community to go and follow the money into these provinces. And it again places a great emphasis on what we've been saying, that there are provinces that we have not really visited, and that it is important that we go there, because those provinces have been given an allocation. And therefore, it's not enough that we receive reports in the committee that seeks to suggest that something has been done. It's about time that we follow the money, we go and see. If these people say that something has been done, what has been done? What has been the achievements? But it's also important to underscore that when we go there, we're not going there as some sort of a punitive exercise or a vindictive exercise, but also to applaud some of the good work that some provinces are doing, because it's important that you strike a balance, because there are other provinces which are actually doing what they need to do. But also, Chair, to say, perhaps as the committee and as the chairperson of the committee, you have to put your foot down as far as us being allowed to go and do oversight. Every time that we have to go and do oversight, there is something that comes up. And it consistently comes up. There's only one modus operandi that we get a letter from the chairperson responsible for committees, that somehow when we have planned and agreed on a program as a committee to go on oversight, that our oversights every time have to be cancelled. And we're told that, no, you can't go on oversight. But it's so, you know, it's surprising that this only affects the Transport Portfolio Committee more than it affects other committees. Perhaps maybe there's a concerted effort to undermine your leadership, and also to ensure that perhaps maybe you fail as a chairperson. I don't know. But you can't fail, Chair, and this committee as well can't fail. We do have a mandate to go on oversight. There are way too many roads that we can all say that these are the roads. But I think since this petition is here, obviously we'll have to engage with the department, SANRAL, and everyone else, and including the department in terms of if they have any transfers to that municipality or to that province, and if that is part of their plans. If it's a municipality, is it part of their integrated development plan in the next financial year? Now municipalities are going to be doing their budgets. What is it that they are doing? And so all I'm saying, Chair, is that we have to put our foot down. If we've agreed on oversight, we definitely have to go and fulfill that mandate. I thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Hlonishwa. Masitholo Landelayo, Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning, honourable members. Chairperson, I'm leaving my video off for my own network is not so good this morning. Chairperson, I would like to thank the presenters for the very comprehensive report that they've given to us on the roads. And Chairperson, as a side note, I actually prefer driving that road when I go from the Free State to KwaZulu-Natal, because it's such a beautiful area, and my honeymoon was there and in that municipality, so it's quite close to my heart. But Chairperson, I think we must get, the only way to get an actual answer is to get the department to give us a comprehensive report on what happened to the money that was there, who spent there, and why is the roads in the state that it is. And also, Chairperson, I think we must, as a committee, take an honest and hard look at the model on how roads are maintained in this country. Because on the one hand, we have SANRAL that has beautifully maintained roads and very well functioning and well budgeted, and the municipalities and the local governments and provinces have got this enormous amount of roads, but underfunded. And we need to find a balance between the two, Chairperson. And I think the funding model is broken. And I think we need to look at that, Chairperson, because this type of destruction of roads is not just in Okahlamba municipality. It's in other municipalities in the Free State, other municipalities in the Northwest. It's become a crisis. I think of all the roads, of the 273,000 kilometers of roads that are maintained by provinces, I think there's most probably 70,000 kilometers of roads that's still viable as roads. And this is, if we don't start doing something about it very soon, there will be, it will have dire consequences to the economy of this country. Chairperson, thank you very much. And we hope to hear from Transport Department soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable McD. Mhlonishwa uNontando Noluchungu. Can you please unmute yourself? Thank you very much.
Sorry, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the committee and to the delegation of Okahlamba. Mine is very simple, Chair. This is not the only province where roads are in this condition, but I want to thank the delegation for bringing this to the attention of the committee, because on several occasions we have written to the minister to get a report on this kind of issue, but we have not received any response from them. So I would really want to thank them for bringing it to our attention, and I'm pleading to this committee that we should not just take reports. We must follow this up and make sure that we go back and report to the community. We also need a detailed report from that municipality to see how much they've received and how those funds were utilized. And again, Chair, I want to second my colleague here to say the issue of oversight, I think you need to take it up with the parliament to say there is no way that every time we have to go to oversight, there is a letter saying that we cannot go due to parliament proceedings. So it is up to you to make sure that this committee functions properly and we do go on oversight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Noluchungu. Mdongo, ngiyenasis.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo. Ngiyabingelela kuwe sihlalo, ngiyabingelela koza kwethu amalungu eParliament ahloniphekile. Ngiyabingelela kwi-delegation yaseOkahlanga. Chairperson, thank you so much for this opportunity and having this presentation being presented on a very important month, which is the Human Rights Month, as you said earlier on in your opening remarks. Mine will be the comments, Chair, but very few, to say as much as this presentation is very important and alerting us as the portfolio committee that there are this kind of damages and very bad areas in our country, in the area of KZN. But for me, it was going to be very, making sense to me as a particular to be presented by people that are directly affected and not with other interests. Because I'm saying this, Chairperson, because uma ulalela uba kuhlongwane ulalela ubaba uNkabinde to me, as much as they're having their business interests, such as their taxes, but it is very evident that they are brought into the system to come and be part of the presentation so that it must make sense that they are there. Was said to be umuntu dala lapha endaweni. We should have had long in second chair. I would like to concur with Honorable MacDonald to say let us have a department to give us a proper report on what is actually happening lapha. Because like KZN, I'm sure you're also aware because you're part of KZN somehow. And Mr. Lee knows what I'm going to talk about. That KZN, I want to say 80% or 85% of that's KZN, that is why I'm saying maybe the department can give us a report on this particular issue. Lastly, apart from what I've been said, Chairperson, that I want to put this on record, that although it is not within the presentation, I want to say this because I might not get in after this, that can you please assist me to talk to your secretariat as Kutolo Committee to be informed that I'm also part of this committee. I need to receive the information, like the information of the Kutolo Committee dates and every stuff, because I submitted long ago my private email, but I don't get anything. For your information, I'm always getting into the meetings because Priscilla Mahlathi always shared this on WhatsApp. Otherwise, I don't receive anything. Whereas I submitted very early my private email address to the Secretary of the Kutolo Committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mtongwa. As you lower your hand, and Honorable Nontando should also lower her hand because we have already passed. Thank you very much. You follow suit, Mtongwa, by lowering your hand as we give an opportunity to Mkhayesu. Kena Mkhayesu ubebe silolwe.
Modula situlo yo tlhompegileng ke lebogela tshone o mphang yone mo letsatsing la gompieno gore le nna ke latlhelela motlapitsong mo kopanong eno e kgethegileng. Le ha tota ke satle go tsenya video ya me ka gore ke a lwala sefatlhego sa me ga se lebege se le sentle tota. Chairperson, I echo the sentiments of the honorable members that have spoken in as far as the presentation is concerned. In the context, of course, of the tourism sector and the jobs that it creates by the presenters. And I would like to thank the submitter of the petition as well as those that have presented. And make a general remark and a comment in as far as the issue of roads is concerned. Chairperson Honorable Noluchungu indicated the state of roads in the Northwest Province. And I would like to make a very crucial example in as far as these conditions are concerned. The Northwest Department of Public Works and Roads has just recently wasted over 65 million rands by regraveling a road and by appointing a contractor who did not finish or complete the road because of conflicts that arose between the contractor and the department. Whilst that may not be the case with the said municipality, it would be interesting to find out from them what has been the relationship between the provincial department that is responsible for the maintenance and the building of roads, as well as the responsible local government in as far as the conditions of these roads are concerned. Maitlhomo Magolo Modula Setulo e le gone go lebelela gore bao ba ba neilweng tiro ya go ka tlhokomela maemo a ditsela mo diprofenseng le dimasepala tse di farologaneng mo Aforika Borwa gore a madi ao a dirisiwa ka tsela e matshwanedi ka tsela e maleba ka phiro ya di ra kontraka tseo di dirang mereko o felletseng kana is there a correlation between the appointment of contractors, the nature of those contractors, as well as the subsequent work that they need to do in as far as road construction and road maintenance is concerned. Because at the end of the day, government remains accountable to South Africans in as far as road infrastructure is concerned. Whilst Honorable McDonald, of course, bemoans the funding model for provinces and municipalities, we also need to recognize the amounts of money that have been lost by local municipalities and provinces as far as the construction of roads and maintenance of roads is concerned. It cannot be acceptable that we have potholes where it is possible to bury a dog. Such things should not be, we should not be having such conversations. And certainly such comparisons should not exist within the context of our society. And it is greatly heartbreaking to hear the example that Honorable Mabera made about people needing to take out a casket and carrying it because there are no roads. The conditions of our roads in our country needs to be dealt with without any fear or favor by the department, because that is our responsibility as a portfolio committee to provide that oversight, to make sure that municipalities and provinces, much as SANRAL is taking good care of our national roads and the network thereof, we need to be able to make sure as a portfolio committee that those spheres of government equally understand why it is important to construct and maintain road infrastructure in this country and the impact that it has on employment, whether it is the tourism sector, whether it is the transport sector, and equally in terms of the employment of our people in those sectors.
Ke o baba o Mondisi ngiyengabona isandla sakho Mondisi bengicabanga ukuthi awukho ngena mfowethu bebathe wahambile kodwa ngena Mondisi
hayi mfowethu ngithe unconnecte ngoba sizoqala ngo-10 la mfowethu
siyabonga Mondisi.
Yeah, umangethe wokuqala ngithanda ukubingelela ne-committee lonke nokubonga ukuthola ithuba leli. Bengithi angizungena mangethe ngenise ukuthi ngikhaliswa i-respond kade ukuthi ufikile Khumalo because she is from KwaZulu-Natal. She know the status of our road in KwaZulu-Natal. Uyazi ukuthi kunomgwaqo osuka emagogo uya ekhombe odlulela eKranskopo obuhlungu ngokuba ama nurse ekhombe esibhedlela awasakwazi ngisho ukulokho abanye bayayeka no dokotela bayaphuma ngenxa zokuthi umgwaqo wakhona mubi. Ngicabanga ukuthi we have witnessed a road from Free State in R34 from Memel to Newcastle, how bad that road is. So now the roads in KwaZulu-Natal, I think since actually Ukahlamba and the surrounding areas are very bad. I'm talking about something that I know and I witness what is happening in that area. Sometimes we have to, if you have some funeral there, we have to carry that somebody to where you want to do your grave in more than 10 kilometers. So I think the presenters and the petition is actually reflecting what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal. Mangete, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you very much.
Mkhayezu, kinekikupa uteolel so Mkhayezu, isa kufilesba ka ubuwa kama farasha. Ke bona le libates I thank you very much honorable members. I hope I've given everybody a chance who wanted to raise an issue. I should also appreciate the collective that visited us today, from Mr. Lees, Councillor Thays, Janse van Rensburg, Memigen, the three presenters, Ubaba Ungwane, Utongwane, Ubaba Unkabini, Nobaba Umsa. I think we should take this matter very seriously, honorable members, and I get a sense that we are doing that. The process from here will be that we should be able to engage and prepare for an oversight visit to that area so that we write our own independent report to Parliament, National Assembly. We should also, in our preparation, rope in the Department of Transport, get their response, and get their representation in accompanying us to the area. And that will go for the municipality and the provincial government, especially the Department of Transport. Am I leaving anything outside, Valerie, that needs to be part of this oversight?
Okay, that is obviously the community and the business people who made the petition and any other stakeholders that will be identified before the meeting for the community meeting that normally takes place when the committee visits the area.
Okay. I was talking high level. At high level, I think I've touched everybody that needs to be there. And then Honorable Hunsinger did raise the fact, a logistical fact, that we have about four roads. That is R304, 184, R74, and 600. These are the roads that have been presented. I did not hear anybody raising any other road. So we take it that these are the roads we'll be looking for a report on moving forward. At where we are going, I think Valerie has covered the details in terms of meeting with the community, going to these roads. Of course, also engaging with those who came to us and presented this issue, business people, and all the interested stakeholders in that area. You should be seen to have consulted extensively on that. Are we in a position, Valerie, to suggest a date or two for this oversight?
Hey, I am currently working on a program to see how the committee can accommodate its plans that it had to go to Northwest Mpumalanga into that week of 19 April to 22nd April. So I will be able to give you a suggested program towards the end of business day on Thursday, Chair.
Okay, Valerie. Thank you very much for that. Ndadem Lees, Robert Alfred Lees. Ngenaba.
It's 10 hours.
Hi. Mr. Chairman, so kohle igama lam ngampela manje ngumazambane. So kohle.
Yeah, okay, mazambane.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the proposals you've made, but I just want to emphasize one thing that SANRAL, let me start, go back a step. The backbone road through the municipality is the R74, and that is a SANRAL road. And that is the road down Olifrees Hook Pass, but also between Bergville and Winterton, it's in a shocking state. So I would please ask that you include SANRAL in any reports you request and in the oversight. I'd really ask you please to make sure that happens. And then, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure whether you're going to give me a chance to close, but I don't have a great deal to say, but I can say it now if that's okay with you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I just want to thank you and your committee for making the time available for this presentation. It's really vital to the well-being of my constituency and the people who live there. But I also want to thank, Mr. Chairman, the huge amount of trouble and work that's been put into by the delegation from Okotlamba. They haven't just come here and mouthed off. They've really prepared well. They genuinely have put the case, and I would really like us to thank them for the effort they're making. And there might be some self-interest involved, so be it. We all have self-interest. But the impact upon the whole community is enormous. And so a thank you very, very much to them for that as well. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Baumazambane. Thank you. Honorable Hunsinger?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I absolutely support your proposal of an oversight visit to the Okotlamba area. Can I also add, Chairperson, that you consider including a report prior to the oversight of a budget spent in that particular area, firstly from SANRAL, but then also from the other spheres of government, provincial government, and also local government, so that we have an idea of what has been spent there in the past 5 years, if you would allow that term of coverage in terms of a preparational report, so that we get an idea what has been spent or what has been allocated and what happened with that allocation, if any money has been allocated to that particular area. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think that is well captured, unless there is somebody who is vehemently let me just say, I have proposed, and the committee seemingly is happy about the proposal, including what Honorable Chris Hunsinger has raised. Is there anybody against the proposal? Number one, that we prioritize the oversight to Okotlamba. Number two, that we bring along the Department of Transport and those entities that are involved, like SANRAL. We request for a report before we go to the oversight in terms of how much has been spent there by all this sphere of government, from national, provincial, and the municipality, and the roads that have been identified. I'm sure these are our roads. 600, 304, 184, R74. Is there anybody who's against? Or let me see hands that supports this so that we record it properly. Mkhayesu? Thank you. Honorable or Mkhaya subatlo re wena a o tsebu support ba ne ke bona re
bona yalo ke ntse ke bile yona khanye modula stulo re ke didi malle ke didi mala
ha re didi mala mkhaya se re batla mongwe ke le bo ke le bo ga support. Any other hand, I know Honorable Sutulo wanted to support, but Honorable Mapena and Honorable Nsinga are here. Any hand supporting this? Do we still have members of this portfolio in this committee? Honorable Nsinga support. And then Honorable Lisa Mangu. Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Bayavuma bonke asiba bava abangavumiyo.
Awuba. Siyabonga. Masithokoze mhlobo wa. No, Honorable Nomthando Lichungu, are you part of those who agree? Thank you. Valerie, we have closed this item, and I want to thank the delegation once more for braving it up and coming, bringing the petition to us. We will do our best to try and assist you. We have heard you, and the pleas that you have made, I think we are equally capable of raising this matter and giving it the attention it needs. So thank you very much. As you go back, if you are traveling to your different destinations, please travel safely. We shall see you probably next month, but we'll let you know. Thank you very much. We now can...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Saying your hamba again, manjen, and I'm Yabonga Kool.
Mazambani Siabonga, Hamba ne Timba Lako, you are now released and freed.
Yabonga.
Areas Masbonga, Mazambani, Nabantu Bonke Bako.
Sharp.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We now go into the second item. Continuation. On the RET bill, bill number 1 of 2020. Honorable Pete May is no longer here. He has attended to the doctor. He has requested that. I want to just bring it to the attention of the meeting. Mama Advocate Nell. Are you here?
I am always here, Chairperson.
You're always here. They say Janssen van Rensburg has put a number of roads here, I can see, in the meeting. We should just open them up and prepare accordingly. Thanks, Councillor van Rensburg. There we are. Energetic and capable of leading us together with your team. Is the team around here? Let me hear Madlogov Ukona.
Okay, Ms. Gangan is in the meeting and Ms. Hari Charan is also here, but she is experiencing a little bit of connectivity problems this morning, but I've just admitted her back into the meeting.
Ms. Gangan.
Good morning, Chair.
Ms. Gangan, can I see your face, please? Tilosin. Long time, Tilosin. Long time.
Chairperson, can you see me?
I can see you. I'm complaining that I've not seen you in ages. Thank you very much for reconnecting with the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, Chair.
Thank you very much. Ms. Haricharan.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to members.
We do see your name, but we don't see your picture.
Yeah, I'm starting.
Uh-huh.
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. I feel like talking Zulu to you this morning.
You can, Chairperson. I know a little Zulu. I'm from Cape Town.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Haricharan.
Thank you.
Advocate Nell, we are in your hands, capable as they are.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. Coming from last week, we decided that we will continue today on page 28, and that's coincidentally clause 28 as well. So it was nice and easy to remember this morning after a lovely long weekend. So, Chair, looking at clause 28.1, the comments here from the aviation industry, just to look at their recommendation here, they are saying that 20 business days is realistically too short to deal with an appeal. They suggest modifying this to 3 months, at least for appeals related to sections 22.1a, the determination of price control. The department then indicated that it is a misunderstanding on the interpretation, as the days referred to is 20 business days, and the 20 business days is only for publishing the decision and for the decision and for the whole hearing or appeal. It is for the decision at the end of the hearing. So, Chair, I'm just flagging or flighting the bill here so that we can read the section. Section reads, within 20 business days of the conclusion of the hearing, the panel that heard the hearing must publish a decision together with the written responses. So it's not that the appeal should only take 20 business days, but it's that it must be published within 20 business days. Chair, then I'm going to carry on with clause 28.3. And then I will ask members' input on those two, because the next one goes to clause 34. So 28.3, their comment here is that they would propose to replace the term general reasonableness with the term appropriateness. So members will see that it's in Roman 3, general reasonableness of price control. And it's there in the bill. The department's response to this is that the words general reasonableness are sufficient or suitable for the bill. So, Chair, that is those comments from them on clause 28 before I go on to the next clause for members. If Chair can just check if the members are in agreement with the department's explanations there.
I am doing exactly what you said I must do. Ma'am Advocate Nell, I don't see any problem from my members, meaning members are happy.
Thank you, Chair. Then members would have seen here, this little Word document is the A-list as it was published. We didn't publish additional amendments to clause 34, which is the next ones we're getting into from PRASA. So I'm just going to minimize our A-list so that we can see the bill. We look at this clause deals with the regulator's executive structures and the comments here from PRASA. For 34.5, it is on the Executive Administrative Committee. It's this one that they want us to look at. And their comment here is that they are suggesting that the clause be amended as follows. They would like it to read that the minister, on the recommendation of the board, may establish other executive committees to address particular matters and provide for the authority and power. The department's response to this is that they do not agree with the suggestion because the minister will be interfering with the work of the regulator. members will recall that in most board setups or board functions, the board will then normally, or the executive council of the functioning entity will determine subcommittees, for example, a committee on human resources or on procurement or the likes. And they will then look at some matters and feed that back into the board. It's a standard practice. So that is, I believe, why the department has indicated that response. Chair, that is the Section 34 input from PRASA. And then I think in the same line, I haven't seen any hands pop up on this one specifically. Chair, I will go to 35.1b. PRASA's recommendation to this is that they suggest that Section 35.1b to D be deleted, as the function is covered under 34.4. Alternatively, the advisory function contemplated under Section 35.1b to D be that of the Executive Regulatory Panel and not the CEO. So if I just move up a little bit to show 34.4 for members, there is 34.4. And this is what PRASA is saying. They're saying that this is already covered in here. The department's response is that it's important to isolate the exact additional functions of the CEO, which are not for the executive officers, noting that the executive officers are not part of the board. No changes are needed. So, Chair, that is the response to PRASA's input on section or clause 35. Then moving to 36, it's the appointment of the executive officer. PRASA indicated here, section 36 should be augmented with minimum qualifications and experience for the chief executive officer and the executive officers. And the department's response to this was that section 36.1 is very clear and there is no need for further modification. So 36.1 then has reference here to suitably qualified persons with experience in economics, law, accounting, or the transportation industry. Then, Chair, moving on to clause 38. Input from both the aviation industry and PRASA on this one. A little bit too fast. There we go. 38 is the function of the regulator, functions of the regulator. So from the aviation industry, the recommendations are that elements that were included in the Airports Company Act and not included in this law, in this regard, suggest the following additions to clause 38. Promote the reasonable interests and needs of users, restrain the regulated companies from abusing their monopoly position. Also for E, they are proposing the following addition: promote appropriate, adequate, and efficient investment in transport facilities and services. And H, after a consultative process with the regulated company and users. So the department's response to this is that in general, the objective of the economic regulation to protect the public interest, which includes users, thus the bill aims to deal with abuse of power and monopoly. They adopt as proposed to add E, promote, so there will be inclusions here proposed to be added to the A list if members agree to this. Super. There we go. Highlighter is working. So this one will then change if members agree to the following: promote appropriate, adequate, and efficient investment in transport facilities and services. And then as far as the H proposal is, the department says there is no need to insert H as part of clause 38 because it is covered by clause 39.1b on the next page. So just to show 39.1b, it does refer you to consultations. So, Chair, for this one, I think I'll do the PRASA one And then members can just indicate if they are happy to agree with the addition of adequate and efficient into E. Let me just do the input from Prasa. Make sure that it's just that one. Here we go. Prasa's comment is on C. In line with the principle that the regulator should regulate within the prescripts of law, the factors that determine the feasibility of the underlying section, where possible, connotes an exercise of a discretion. We therefore suggest that the factors that determines the exercise of the discretion should be defined in the regulations and what factors that the regulator should take into account in arriving to a conclusion. Therefore, the subsection should be revised as follows. Promote efficiency in transport facilities and services by facilitating competition and implementing regulations in accordance with the factors prescribed in the regulations issued by the minister. And the department indicated here that they note the comments, but the proposed additions are not necessary as section 54 talks to the minister making regulations in a prescribed manner and form. Then just to quickly go to 54 for members. There we go. There's the regulations or the powers to regulate. So, Chair, I think then very important for this one and for our drafters is to see members' views on the possible addition here to 38 as proposed and agreed to.
Yes, advocate. Do you see any hand on your side?
I didn't see one popping up, Jay, but we just need to know if, whether members agree with it or not, so that the drafters don't insert something that our members don't want.
You want me to change the rule here and
wait,
say...
Chair, there I'm seeing two hands are popping up now, Chair.
It's because me and you are requesting them. Honorable McDonald?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Advocate Now. Chairperson, I'm just wondering if the adequate and efficient investment... Chairperson, I think it reads nicer, and also it would stop entities spending money on investment in it, and it's only, for an example, it's a bus stop, but it has no ramp for people with wheelchair access. And then they could say, but it was an appropriate investment in the transport facility and it is a service, but it's not adequate and it's not efficient for the purpose. So I'm wondering if it would be a train smash to add that adequate and efficient investment in that paragraph E, Chairperson. That's my only comment. If not, I'm happy with that, but it reads better, Chairperson, and it sounds a bit nicer. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Honorable Manu says, I am happy. Advocate, is there any train smash to add the little spice added by Honorable McDonald, who's himself happy about the clearness of the capturing, actually supported by Honorable Manu?
Chair, I don't foresee any train smashes from this. I think it will also expand on what kind of investment you can do, or that people do not just put money into a system for the sake of putting money into a system, but that it actually works at the end. Some people could argue that the word appropriate investment is sufficient, but it doesn't, it will not hurt if we also expand it to say that it must be appropriate, adequate, and efficient.
Thank you very much. Can we support that addition? Let me see a hand of seconding that addition so that we do what we're supposed to do. A hand that supports Honorable MacDonald. How bantu bakithi basemhlabeni wase South Africa. Not to all. There is a hand. Whose hand was that? Hey, this hand was very fast like lightning.
Can it was Honorable Manu who's hand, Chairperson.
No, it's not Honorable Manu. It's Honorable John Bilankolo. I've seen him. It's thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can we move, Advocate Almanel?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Our next one is Clause 42 on research and public information. Members will see here, it's on 42.2. Okay, there we go. So the aviation industry representatives have suggested the following clause. Any request for research made to the regulator must be considered on the merits of its reasonableness and benefits to the industry, after which funding arrangements will be made by the regulator and other interested parties as may be necessary. The department's response to this proposal is that it is supported. And then they say clause 42.1. So, Chair, I think the department may just need to clarify if they are supporting adding this to 42.2 or if they are saying that 42.1 covers what is proposed by the aviation industry. Before I go to item 2A of Schedule 2, Chair.
Ms. Ranzo,
thank you, Chairperson. The project manager is also in the meeting, but what we're saying is that what was suggested is already incorporated and supported in clause 42.1. If Mr. Mwagezi can confirm.
Thanks, Mr.
Ranzo.
Riranzo Mashaba.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, some people think you're Mashaba. Mashaba, ne?
Yes, Mashaba.
Aha. And I don't make it. It's good. Oh, now listen, but I'm going
to Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to the honorable members and the colleagues. It is indeed, we support the suggestion. The one should be two is just a typo, Chair. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Nyabo. Advocate Almanel?
Chair, if the department is then happy to add this in 42.2, then we'll need members' inputs on whether they will agree with that addition, just so that our drafters know to add it into the draft A list.
Thank you very much. The first hand, Honorable Lawrence, you happy?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy with adding it as suggested by the Airlines Association and the aviation, you know, aviation Chairperson and myself. I think adding it there would surely help the investment in future investment in aviation, I think, and adding it there by number two would greatly assist, because the number two doesn't give enough meat to the bone there, Chairperson. So I'm happy with that. If we can have a proper inclusion, and I don't know how to phrase it properly, but the legal minds will do that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Any seconder? Any other view? If there's no seconder, there is a no, Mama Unon. who was it? These portfolio committee members today, they are very fast. Can I see the hand once more? Okay, let me leave that there. Baba Umangu.
I'm seconding the proposal as requested, Chair. Thank you.
Can you please tell your people that they should not develop a new style of raising hands, Honorable Man?
I will talk to my people, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Advocate Almanel.
Thank you, Chair. Then just a little bit patience while I try and get to our schedule two. We got schedule two, and it's item 2A. So it is the continuation of tariffs in force and effect. And then if we look at the A list that we published, schedule one. And that's schedule two. Okay. Now, the input here from the aviation industry for this, Chair, is that they are proposing that each regulated entity must submit a proposal to the regulator and user. The department's view on this is that clause 11.4a does indicate that the regulated entities must submit a proposal to the regulator and interested parties. So that is for the continuation of the tariffs. And if I go to 11.4a, members will see here, that is 11.4a. That does say that they must consult with interested parties and the public in the prescribed manner. So the department is not agreeing to that proposal, Chair. I'm not seeing any hands popping up. So, Chair, then we can probably go to section 47.
Yes, go to section 47.
Yes. Yeah, there were some additions in the A list to that clause. Quite a few additions, Chair. So I'm going to try and run all the documents here in case we need to. So members will see here the input here from PRASA is that they are saying section 47 should be augmented with minimum qualifications and experiences for council members. And the department's view on this was that section 47.3 is very clear and there is no need for further modifications. And if we look at 47.3, members of the council, when viewed collectively, must comprise sufficient suitably qualified persons with experience in law, economics, accounting, and the transportation industry. And if we look here, this is just that after, or just to also add the process of the committee's work in terms of looking at the suitable candidates and the nominations then for appointment to the council, Chair. So, Chair, this is similar to the previous comments on the board members. The department does feel that the bill sufficiently covers the required qualifications or the minimum qualifications required. Chair, then to clause 50 and the comments from Traction. 50 is on the finances, the regulator and the council. Members will see in the A list, there was just additional for the removal there of reference to the year of the Public Finance Management Act for drafting style. Process comment here, Traxion's comment is that they are concerned that the cost costs of running the two entities could run away and create an inefficient bureaucracy funded by operators. The regulator and the council should be fully funded and controlled by Parliament. And the department's response to this is that funding from the fiscus is unavoidable in the short term, but in the medium term, the institution should be self-funding. Principles of how fees charged to regulated entities will be set. Concurrence of the Minister of Finance is required. The overall amount of money collected is in line with the needs of the Transport Economic Regulator or the Council and the actual cost of regulation. Checks and balances to ensure the regulator is as efficient as possible in completing the regulatory task, and regulation is only undertaken where it improves economic outcomes and value for money. Independent financing is critical for regulatory independence. So, Chair, the department is of the view that as it is, the bill should be sufficient to cover the funding requirements. They do indicate here that it's both funding from regulated entities appropriated by Parliament, other fees payable in terms of the Act, income derived from investments and deposits of surplus money, as well as other money accruing from any other source that does not create a conflict of interest. So, Chair, then still on the same clause, but now a comment from PRASA, but specifically to 51A, which is the annual fees paid by regulated entities. PRASA is suggesting that Section 50 be amended as follows. The regulator and the council are each financed from A, the annual fees to be paid by regulated entities, in terms of Section 51. Money appropriated by Parliament, any other fees payable in terms of this Act. D, income derived from its investment and deposit of surplus money in terms of subsection 2B. And E, other money accruing from any other source that does not create a conflict of interest as determined by the minister and prescribed by regulation. Now, the department's view on this is that this suggestion is not supported. Excluding the words as determined by the minister, we are allowing self-regulation to take place, and at the most, regulated entities will not pay fees to fund the regulator and council. Chair, it's very important in terms of regulation in general to have the fees published. We see it even with our vehicle licensing fees, with toll fees, and any other fees that the regulators have to impose on entities, because it also allows for a consultation process in the publication thereof, instead of just saying that the minister determines it or that the entity determines it. And if we do look at 51, which PRASA is trying to bring in here, is that it does indicate how the minister will then look at and determine the fees that will eventually then be published. So it gives that whole process there. You have to link these two sections of the bill, because the first one just says that this is where we determine it from, and it has to be determined by the minister in publication. You cannot just say that it's just to be done in terms of 51. So it does give the clarity there. Chair, that is the comments from those entities on those sections. We are going to jump back to section 46. I've not seen any hands pop up yet. So 46 again is the establishment of Transport Economic Council, and this is a comment from the African Rail Industrial Association. They are proposing to insert the purpose of the council to provide context to its functions in section 48. And then the department has indicated here that sections 46 and 48 explain the purpose and the role of the council. So those are covered in the Act. They are not agreeing to add it into this top section. Then going down to section 47, again, same from the African Rail Industrial Association. 47 is on the council members. We see here that it's 47A is the first one. They are saying setting a minimum for the shortlist is restrictive. What if the nomination is for a replacement of one member who has resigned or been removed? So the department's response to this is that clause 47.3A and B of the A-list addresses this matter. This is covered by clause 47.3D of the A-list. So just to bring up the A-list here for members. Members will see there that is the participation from the parliament committees in the nomination and the appointment. So the department feels that our draft A-list that was published is will sufficiently cover the concerns raised. Then members will see 47.8. We'll just minimize that one. 47.8. Okay, here we go. It's right in line here. So the African Rail Industrial Association is saying it's not clear how three-year term or four-year term members are determined. And the department's response to this is that 47.8 is very clear in terms of first appointments and or any time there is a complete simultaneous turnover in the membership of the council. Thus, the terms of the council members must be varied. Then on to clause 49.2. That is the conflicting interests. The submission from African Rail Industrial Association is that with regard to significant relationship, they would like this to be defined under the definitions. In general terms, it refers to a spectrum of close emotional connections. The department's response to this is that the definition of a significant relationship is addressed by section 49.3. Members will see here that we do get a definition in the clause that indicates that it is employment relationship or professional engagement within the immediately preceding 12 months or connection to a related or interrelated person. So their view is that it is sufficiently covered. And it doesn't need a specific definition to be added to the first clause of the bill. Then on to section 50 on the finances. We see here that they are indicating that they are concerned that the cost of running the two new entities could run away and create inefficient bureaucracy funded by operators. The regulator and council should be fully funded and controlled by Parliament. Again, members will see this is similar to the previous comments, and the department has the same response to that. As we've discussed a little bit earlier, then we get to clause 58.3, input from PROSA. Let's get to 58. There we go. The powers to enter and search. Members will see here that PROSA suggested that section 58.3 be amended as follows. An inspector authorized to conduct an entry and search in terms of section 53 must be accompanied and assisted by a police officer. The department's response to this is that no changes should be made from may to must due to capacity constraints of authorities. This will happen on a case-by-case situation. Then on to clause 64A. Members will see here that is the offences relating to the regulator and council. And if we just check our A-list, draft A-list 64, there was just a few additions that the members proposed there in the previous rounds. But looking at the input here from the African Rail Industrial Association, they are suggesting that there be a deletion of the word calculated. That would be that one right there. It may be problematic since a person may still do something uncalculated or improperly influence a regulator. The transgression is to act out the intention. Calculatedness is immaterial. The department has indicated here that they are amenable to the suggestion. So members, this is one then again that we just need clarity for our drafters. Chair, nice to see there is a hand on this one.
The chairperson is still here.
Sorry about that. I was muted. Yes, the end belongs to Honorable McDonald. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I agree that the calculated that word does not belong there. I think any person commits an offense who does anything to improperly influence anything. It doesn't have to be calculated, uncalculated. That word doesn't belong there, Chairperson. I agree with that. But Chairperson, on the previous item on the may and must, I would really like because I'm not 100% sure. Does that mean that the regulator does not need a police officer to search a premises or to search a entity? Because then I'm a bit concerned because that's not legally correct, because no search can be done without a police officer. So if I can get some clarity on that, Chairperson, thank you. Otherwise, I'm happy. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable McDonald, for your active participation. Before we, let us maybe get an explanation and get a seconder and move. Advocate explanation or department?
Honorable Chairperson, Mwegeti here. That's exactly the position of the department, which has been explained by Honorable McDonald, where you would have a situation where you don't really need an inspector or police officer to accompany the inspector to inspect whatever needs to be inspected. So if you put the word must, it therefore means at every occasion there must be a police officer accompanying an inspector chair. So the may then gives a discretion that allows a situation where there is no need of a police officer to accompany an inspector, then that should happen, Chair. Thank you. That's why we're proposing that we leave the way it may instead of past. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is kudo. Thank you very much. Let's see any seconder that we should move. We happy, like Honorable McDonald has said. Where are the people of this portfolio committee? I can see that Ukahlamba has drained my people. Come back. There is a hand there. Honorable Chris Wunsinga, are you happy?
Chairperson, bit of a concern.
I
think search is rather specific to the functions of police, whereas I can see that there might be a occasion or conditions under which an inspection is required in relation to the functions and role within the ambit of this bill. So therefore, I suggest consideration of the word inspection to then align to the purpose that might arise to verify conditions necessary for a inspection opposed to the functions of police, which is understood under the word search, for which warrants are required under most conditions. Obviously, if there is a suspicion of a condition, a police officer can then search without a warrant. But then that's rather thin ice. But then in this instance, Chairperson, I would then ask for the consideration of the word inspection, which might align to a condition where police officers are not necessary to accompany such occasions.
Tango. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. There it is. Honorable Member, let me hear from you. We need to support or have a different view. There is a hand of Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm participating fully today.
I can see that. I'm happy.
Chairperson, I want to concur because with Honorable Hunsinger, the problem is searching. Searching under the law without a police officer present is a minefield of constitutional rights that will be broken. So I think when by removing the entry and search in terms of Section 53, I think we must change that to then we leave the word may and change the word to inspection. Then I would support that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
That was support for Honorable McDonald. Anybody who has any different views from honorable members, I see somebody from or something from Me Raksha Haricharan. Your views, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just regarding the members' concern regarding Section 58 of the bill, the powers to enter and search Section 58, Subsection 3, as discussed, the issue of the word must and may. Chairperson, if I may refer the members to, we are dealing with Clause 58.3, but if I may refer the members to Clause 58.1 of the bill, under the heading of powers to enter and search, Clause 58.1 states that a person who is authorized under Section 57 to enter and search premises may, and there's a list of provisions there, and then enter upon or into these premises to be search those premises, etc. If I may, Chair, the Clause 58.3 is to be read in tandem with Clause 58.1, which stipulates that a person is authorized under Section 57 to enter and search premises may. And if I may refer the committee to Clause 57 of the bill, it deals with the authority to enter and search under warrant. Clause 57.1, if I may read, states a judge of the High Court or magistrate may issue a warrant to enter and search any premises that are within the jurisdiction of that judge or magistrate if from information on oath or affirmation there are reasonable grounds to believe that subsection A, a contravention of this act has taken place, is taking place, or is likely to take place on or in those premises, or B, that anything connected with an investigation in terms of this act is in the possession of or under the control of a person who is on or in those premises. And there are various other provisions, subsection 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 under Clause 57. So if Clause 58.3 may be read in conjunction with Clause 57 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, I think this will provide greater clarity of the intention of these clauses and its meaning. Thank you, Chair.
57 read with 58. Let me go back to the two members. As you know, lower your hand. May Archerin, your hand is still up. As you lower your hand, Honorable Hunsinger, is that clear?
Chairperson, it is absolutely clear. I'm still of the opinion that prior to such a severe condition, there should be opportunity for an ordinary inspection before a like legal avenue is sought to get a proper mandate there. But in terms of the connection and the particular section, it is quite clear and therefore has built in all the conditions subject to, you know, the may or the must. And it might be a separate point that I raise that an inspection should be allowed before such severe action should be undertaken. Also, Chairperson, can I ask for a particular example under which conditions, you know, such a severe action would be needed? Can the department give us an example of where Section 58 would come into play?
Thank you very much, Honorable Hun Singer. As I capture it, we'll go to the example just now. As I capture it, you are happy with the explanation. You are raising it. Thank you very much. You are raising a point, though, that the inspection must or may be considered before we get to this level, which I think, let me hear if Honorable McDonald still supports, so that we can be clear. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree. We don't, Chairperson, this is a little bit like an issue of we're trying to, before we ascertain that a person is guilty, we have now already locked him up. This is the type of, I'm afraid that I also have the same feeling, Chairperson, that don't you, we should first do an inspection. And then if the next step must be coming. We otherwise it becomes like a authoritarian state that this can easily be misused as a way of just quickly getting information from somebody or something. And we must make it sure that this thing is constitutionally correct. I don't want the issue that the president has to send the ball back because it's unconstitutional, Chairperson. So if we can just get very good clarity on this before we continue. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, my understanding is that this matter has been clarified. What we are left with is an example from the legal people. That will also include the department under the capable hands of Mary Ranzu.
I succumb, Chairperson. Thank you. Thank you very much. I support.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Any example where Section 58 may have been invoked?
Honorable Chair, it's Mueketi here. I'll give one simple example, Chair. But I think from my personal point of view, I welcome the suggestion that is made by the honorable members with regard to having clauses that talks to inspection prior to instituting Section 58 in terms of entry and search, Chair. I think it's something that we probably have to go and see how we embed a clause related to that, Chair. However, a simple example, Chair, is that to be giving powers to the regulator to determine tariffs or determine prices. And that determination is based on the information that would be sourced from the regulated entities in the main. There would be an instance that you would know when a proposal is submitted by a regulated entity, it's based on the assets of a regulated entity that are owned and managed by a regulated entity. And some information may not be disclosed by a regulated entity, whereas the regulator may be aware of such an information that has a bearing in the determination of that tariff, Chairperson. So therefore, these clauses are giving the powers to the regulator to be able to access that information. For example, there may be a port that may have not been disclosed by the Transnet National Ports Authority, which may have a bearing in the determination of the tariff. And therefore, the regulator with these clauses has an opportunity or has a right to go and access information from that port. Maybe, yes, the wording may be too strong, but I'm not a legal person to rework the wording, but it's more of giving access to the regulator to be able to gain information in a specific investigation or when they're determining prices and tariffs, Chairperson. Yeah, I hope I have clarified the matter from that angle, Chair.
Thank you very much, Tate Moeketsi Skudo. Advocate Alma Nell.
Chair, I just pulled up the index to the bill, just so that members can see here. I don't see a specific clause on inspection, which the members have suggested. Now, the department has indicated that they do think it will be a good idea to have or to look at the possibility of having a specific clause on the inspection. I think our legal drafters can look at that, but we also need to just consider from the point of view of the process, it would be a new clause, and that new clause may need an additional publication. So we might just need to get clarity there from them if we are bringing it in, if it's not sufficiently or suitably covered within the powers to, for example, subpoena information or call for information. Jay, that's why I just flagged, I put 56 up for members, which is the clause that's preceding 58 that we looked at, because 56 is a general power that they will have, similar to what the committee has to call for information. It's then normally when you call for information, or you call a person to appear, this is all about getting information or getting the persons to appear, similar to what the committee has in terms of their subpoena powers, our committee. But then this is where 57 will then kick in, when the people are not forthcoming or the regulator may have been provided with some information that the people are withholding information, and that is then when you go for the court order. So one could argue that these powers under the subpoena is actually then where your investigation process is taken off. But if our drafters look at this, considering members' feelings and input here today, and it does come out of this that this would not be sufficient in terms of needing a clause for inspections itself, actual physical inspections, then they will have to drop that one afresh and anew. So, Chair, I just thought I would just point that out. It could be a similar publication to the way that we did the recent one on members' involvement in the appointment of the council, which wasn't there before. So it will follow that same process. We might have a next round of submissions when we do that, Chair. But I do think it will assist in the quality of the bill if we have it, if the subpoena clause does not sufficiently cover it, Chair. And then I have noted that members who have agreed, I think, with Mr. McDonald's notion here for clause 64 to remove calculated. And if Chair is happy, Chair will just let me know when I can move on.
Thank you, Advocate. The spirit of the debate, as I get it, should actually be covered by what you are raising in section 56. I think the concern from the members, I will allow them to say if I'm correct or wrong. The concern was that how do you arrive at 58? Is there any other process that is undertaken clearly that if that process is failing, then we can jump to 58? The explanation that you are giving at section 56, am I correct? You talked about 56, eh?
Yes, Chair, 56 would be where they look at calling persons and looking at the documents, but not physically going to the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, for example, somebody is requesting access to a section of Transnet rail line for purposes of, let's say, transporting additional freight. But Transnet is saying, oh, but that line doesn't exist. But everybody in the area knows that the line exists. Now, the body here would then, in terms of their subpoena powers, be able to call for the documents and for people to come and testify. Let's say a person comes and testifies or produces photos to say that, look, that line is actually there, but Transnet will still say, no, it's not there. Then the regulator will then have to go to the court here in terms of 57 and get a court order in order to go and enter and search the premises or the rail reserve for purposes of determining whatever they need to determine, either in terms of then granting the access or determining fares. And then once they have the court order, that is then when the powers to search and enter will come in. And then it is if let's say, especially under 58.1, let's say the person that you are going to the property, they're okay with you coming in and entry. That is normally when the may will come in. So, yes, okay, I may enter. I'm granted permission. I will enter and I will do all of these things. If I don't have permission, and that's normally where the concern comes in,
mm-hmm.
Unless the court says you can enter without a police officer, specifically in their court order, but they'll hardly ever do that. Let's say the person says, no, I'm not giving you entry or permission. This is then what I believe the department is trying to say, is that on a case-by-case basis, if the entity that's going to be inspected saying, I will not let you in unless you come here with a police officer, that is then when 58.3 comes in and where they will then be accompanied or assisted by a police officer if needed. That is how I would understand it, Chair. But I do see the concern that members could have that some of these inspectors may want to rock up there at the venue and say, I have these powers in terms of the act, whether I have a police officer or not, so you must give me entry. And that is then when the concern may come in that the persons that are being inspected, physically inspected or forced entry at that point, may go to court and say, but you did this outside of the confines of the law, especially if a court order will not be standard in terms of stating that they can enter with or without a police officer.
Okay.
Chair, that is how I would run the sequence and the examples of it.
I think I would just test this with the matters with the members. The explanation was sufficing. There was a new point that was raised. Let me just check if we really want to engage with that point, if it will take us to public participation. Let me just go back to my members. Ubaba Galisa Wagamanu, Ubaba Chris Hunsinga, in that order.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I am slightly skeptical on us going into another process of public participation due to the time frame that we have taken here. However, because that implication of the proposal by my colleague, Honorable McDonald, was not sponsored by me, I would request that maybe our drafters look at a way of encapsulating the proposal and avoiding another public participation. I think it will work against us unless my colleagues feel otherwise. My consideration is both factual effect of that proposal and the time factor that we are working against. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Manu. Mhlekazi. Sesibuyela kuwe manje, Mhlekazi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I remind my colleague Lisa Mandu that it is exactly because of the time factor that R2 ended up where it is and NLTA was sent back to this committee. We should strive to write good legislation and proper legislation and thorough legislation. Therefore, Chairperson, I am convinced that the addition of an inspection component between sections 56 and 57 would absolutely cover the very important question that will be asked upon an application to search. And that application needs to explain what reasonable steps and measures has been undertaken in order to justify this very severe act of allowing a forced search. And if we then have the fallback of a clause which allows for inspection on a voluntary basis, and based on the fact that this voluntary inspection was not allowed and that there's no other recourse other than to get this very important search warrant, I feel we are good in terms of the Constitution, particularly Section 36 of the Constitution, which speaks to dignity, equality, and freedom. And therefore, Chairperson, I think it would improve this legislation. I do not believe that it might require absolutely a publication and therefore a further public participation process. I think it can be crafted in a way where it is structured as a default just to make Section 57 stronger. So in phrasing it as a default, I think that creates the opening so that it would not be seen as a new addition, but that it would be seen as a supporting addition. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mhlekazi, ngiyabonga. Ngivuya kakhulu, enkosi bahlekazi ababini. I think this matter is settled, Advocate. Are we in tandem with what the members are saying?
Chair, yes, if the drafters can work it and word it in such a way, I mean, the department may know of another clause that I might be missing at the moment that it could be inserted in there because you could also add it under the clauses that give the powers to inspect or do physical inspection to the inspectors. If it's already somewhere in the bowl there, then I'm sure the department and the drafters can make sure that, let's say, where they give the powers to the officers to inspect or to become inspectors, they add it in there, then it should be something that flows from the context and the content that's already there. It would not then be a new or an additional or aspect that is beyond the scope. So I think if the drafters could look at that and perhaps guide the committee to where it will be best placed, then one can ensure that it's done within the normal A-list drafting perspective, Chair.
Advocate, are we ready to proceed? I think this one has been canvassed sufficiently.
Yes, Chair. We did get support there from members for removal here of, if we are going to remove the word calculated, then 64A will just read, does anything to improperly influence the regulator concerning any matter connected with an investigation. And I'm sure our drafters would have noted the support there for that one. Chair, then on item 29B of the A-list is the next comment. So I'm assuming this is in the schedules. Let me just get to 29B. And that is 29B. So it's this in the draft A-list that the African Rail Industry Association is saying that the point there is not important. But the department has indicated here that their comment is not clear. Just then to refresh members here, it is a substitution so that that clause then would read, may request advice from the regulator regarding any action which he or she may take in terms of subsection 3 or 4. Then, Chair, again to Schedule 1, consequential amendments. This is now input from the Western Cape Department of Transport and Public Works. Their recommendation there was that Section 28 of the NLTA be amended by the insertion of the words and any price controls determined by the regulator after the words subject to the Municipal Fiscal Powers and Functions Act. The department's view is that they support this proposed amendment to Section 28 of the NLTA. So, Chair, here I think if it is possible for the department to just indicate we are in the process of, or there was an amendment to the NLTA. Obviously, this will speak to the old NLTA. If they can just make sure that if there was an amendment to Section 28 of the NLTA, that this would not, or how it would impact that bill that proposes amendments to the NLTA. I hope the department is able to assist members with that, because if we are agreeing to insertion of these words there, this is going to be amendment, but we need to make sure that the amendment that will then go back to the president after we are done with the NLTA, that that's not going to read different, Chair. I think if the department can just assist here.
That is kudo.
Thank you, Chairperson. From where we sit, Chairperson, is to embed or include that paragraph or section under page 38. If you look at page 38, which is part of consequential amendments, there's an amendment of National Land Transport Act there, which has point 4. So we'll probably have to add this clause there that indicates that we would want to amend the NLTA as proposed here, Chair. Obviously, it will affect the numbers going forward in terms of the section of the consequential amendments, Chair. That's the proposal that we're making for consideration by the Portfolio Committee. Thanks.
Advocate?
I can see the proposal there, but we don't know how this wording is in the current NLTA amendment bill. And we don't know if, Chair, it will come in there eventually then. If we do include it here, it will go into that one. I don't think it'll amend the, or it'll affect the number. It'll just affect the numbering down here in this bill. If the department is happy with that, then Chair, then I'm sure we can continue. And if members agree with the department's proposal to add it, Chair.
You want a specific agreement? members, let me see happiness. Honorable Chris Wensinger.
Chairperson, we must be mindful that this is an implication that would only have effect later on, you know, with the entities being sort of merged into this new entity. So I don't think it is a crisis, an immediate crisis, but it's something that needs to be addressed going forward. In practical terms, I would imagine that we would address the NLTA with the deficiencies exposed, you know, in terms of the constitutional matters and sent back to the president and president's office. And obviously, this is one of the items which would need to be addressed going forward in a review of the NLTA at a later stage. So I think we must just be mindful of this, and the department obviously has the prerogative then to alert us and to, you know, table this particular or other sections of the NLTA that we need to look at in order to accommodate functioning of the economic regulator bill. But it's not a threat currently for now.
Thank you, Honorable Wensinger. Any other view? Or are we happy with the view from Honorable Wensinger? As he lowers his hand, of course. Any other view, members? Or are we happy with what the Honorable Wensinger is saying? I don't want to call members individually. Please assist me.
Chair, I think if we go through the following two, they also affect the NLTA, so then members can just indicate at the end of these ones whether or not they are happy with the additional amendments to be added here to the amendment of the NLTA, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, then just here for members, the Western Cape Department also indicated here that Section 38 of the NLTA will also be impacted. The same for Section 41(1)(c). The department also indicated there that it's noted and they do support it. Then there's another one here. It also impacts broadly on the provisions of Chapter 6 of the NLTA, especially the rationalization of existing permits. And that one was also noted and supported by the department chair. So those are all the ones that then, if the department is in agreement and members are in agreement, that our drafters will just need to make sure that all the clauses that are impacted are included here, as they did for Section 21 in the bill. So, Chair, I am not seeing any opposition. Wait, there's a hand there, Chair, from the department. Chairperson?
Chairperson, I see that you are still online. Can you unmute yourself, please?
Where are my members?
We are all here, Chairperson.
What are they saying?
Chair, there was a hand from the department on the inclusions of these amendments to the NLTA.
I don't see that hand, advocate, but it's okay.
May I come through, Chair?
Yes, you can come through.
Thank you, Chair. It is me who had raised a hand, but after consideration of the comment that was made by Advocate Nell, that the drafters and the legal people will have to look at these comments and see how best to respond to them and factor them in the bill if need be. I think we'll take that opportunity to revisit this area as well, Chairperson. And with the comments that have been made by the members in terms of the amendment of the National Land Transport Act as well. So we'll factor that point, Chair. So my request is that we look at these comments and see how we embed them in the bill itself, because they are more relevant for the consequential amendments that needs to be looked at, Chair. I don't know whether I'm clear there, but I think we need to revisit these areas, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Ndate Moeketsi Sikhudo. Members, do we accept that? Is that acceptable, Honorable Members? Lawrence McDonald says, yes, it is acceptable. Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Any other member? Honorable McDonald, you see, it does not help to speak on behalf of the collective. You said we are here. Any other honorable member with any other view except this, if there's any other view? Okay, thank you. Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. Then moving on, the next comment is also on Schedule 1. They are saying it's page 37. That's the page that I'm flagging. Chair, again, this is Transnet concerned about the lodgement with the regulator within 20 business days from date of last signature of the agreement. Their view is that this should be 30 business days instead of 20. And they are indicating that points 1.2 and 1.3 are agreements from Transnet. So it just indicates that Transnet does agree with those proposed provisions in that Schedule 1. So, Chair, here the department is in agreement with Transnet's proposal to change the time frame there from 20 business days to 30 business days. I think my... Not sure if their page reference is correct here. They are saying it's in 1.6. So it'll be up here. And if members are in agreement, there we go, there's the 20 business days. It's on page 36, not 37. So it's under this provision in the National Ports Act. I think agreement must be lodged with regulator. There we go. So, Chair, this is the proposal. The department is saying we're happy to move it to 30 business days. We just need to get input here from members if members are also in agreement to move it to 30 business days instead of 20 business days, Chair, just for the drafters, so we can add it in the A list.
Kate, I can see you are changing my way of chairing. I don't have a problem because we had said if members have an issue, they will raise their hands. But let me follow what you are requesting of me. Members are happy. There is Honorable McDonald happy. And then I've seen another hand. What was the other hand? Aha. Ubaba Ulisa Kamanco.
Happy.
Happy. Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then we are almost to the end. Two more pages to go. Schedule one here. Again, a comment from Transnet, where they speak to the Section 72 amendments of the National Boards Act. I think if we look at our A list, see, there's all the regulations under the schedule. Just to have that in the background here, Chair, they are proposing, or they're indicating here, that the proposal does not provide clarity as to whether the authority is still required to submit the tariff book to the regulator or not. Currently, the tariff book is submitted to the regulator for approval and sign-off in a separate process. Transnet requires clarity as to whether the price control includes the list of services and charges to customers, which will be approved by the regulator simultaneously when the price controls are established. The department has indicated here that the matter is addressed in Schedule 2, the transitional provisions. Specifically, it is item 2, 1, 2, and 3. So let's just go there to Schedule 2, number 2. So the department is saying these concerns are covered in here. Where in migration will happen on current arrangements or practices. For example, item 2, 3, B on licenses. So that is, for example, that one. Then, Chair, the department has indicated here that it includes the list of services and charges to customers, which will be determined by the regulator simultaneously when the price controls are established as contemplated in Section 11. So, Chair, that is one then that portion of the comment, but there is another one on that amendment to Section 72. Section 72. From Transnet here again, they indicate that a proposal to amend to amend Section 72 of the National Ports Act by substituting Section 4, which enables the authority to enter into agreements with licensed operators and port users based on variation of tariffs as contemplated in Subsection 1, will have undesirable consequences. This is on the understanding that price controls are prescriptive and limit tariff variation. It's Transnet's view that the authority's prerogative to enter into varied agreements or contracts of a commercial nature with its customers should continue. The authority will continue to the submissions of agreements concluded with customers to the regulator within the recommended period of 30 days. The department's response to this is that clear clauses on these matters are stipulated in Section 7 on page 10. The section talks about content of access agreements and notification to the regulator. In principle, the regulator will get involved when there's a disagreement between access owner and access seeker. Just to take members again to 7. Seven does look at the contents of access agreements and notifications to the regulator. So the department is of the view and confident that this will be sufficient to cover these concerns raised. Chair, that is the end of the matrix as supplied following the additional call for submissions on the ERT bill.
Thank you, Advocate. Members, are we happy? Do you want to say something? Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Happy, I can see. Any other hand? Happiness? Okay, any unhappiness? Okay. Valerie?
Yes, Chair.
Where are we going now?
Chair, there's the in terms of the agenda, there's the minutes of 15 March.
Yes, Valerie. In terms of this process.
Okay, sorry, Chair, lack of sleep. Chair, the department and the legal advisors, in terms of the discussion, there's some issues for feedback. So bearing in mind the program or the meetings finishes next week, we need an indication, Chair, from when they can provide that feedback to the committee, because if they can't do it next week on the 29th, then the earliest date would probably be after the committee's oversight, which is then the 26th of April, after the recess period.
Okay. Maybe we should allow them time sufficiently so that they don't come back rushy, unless they say they can be able to do a good job and come back next week. Let me hear from them. Mary Ranzo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I support the 26th of April to give us sufficient time to provide concise reporting. Thank you.
Yeah, I will not ask you many questions. I've given you that option. Thank you.
Thank you.
Valerie, we will see this issue after the oversight. Thank you very much. Can we then deal with the minutes of the 15th of March? I've gone through the minutes. I'm sure members have gone through the minutes. Can we get a mover and a seconder for minutes? If there's no any other issue that members wants to raise. Is the hand of Honorable McDonald a new hand or an old hand?
Chairperson, it's an old new hand, Chairperson. I want to propose the adoption of the minutes, but Chairperson, I also would honorably request you to just give me an opportunity before you close the meeting to just raise something, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Seconder for the minutes, Honorable Ufikile Waga Mto Mwaukuma Umbulas. Siapong Umbulas. Okay, Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, apologies and thank you very much for allowing me, Chairperson. Chairperson, I humbly request that as the Portfolio Committee on Transport, we extend our humble condolences to the People's Republic of China on the airplane crash of yesterday of flight MU5735 that crashed and killed, I think, 133 people on board, Chairperson. And I think it will be only prudent and right that as a portfolio committee, even though we're in South Africa, and but South Africa is part of the global village, Jefferson, I think it will be proper for us to extend our condolences to the People's Republic of China for the accident that happened yesterday, Jefferson. I humbly request. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. Mama Ufigil, is that an old hand? Valerie?
It's an old hand, Chairperson. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honorable members, let me thank you very much for the manner with which we handled the presentation of the people of Ukahlamba. I think I've heard you in terms of the oversight being declined. We will write to necessary people as the chair. And I'm sure members will agree with me that I should engage these people, the honorable members who are responsible for this. Otherwise, I think we had a good meeting. When is our next meeting, Valerie?
Chair, that will be next week on the 29th to consider feedback on the traffic amendment bill, to look at the committee's draft program for the second term and to adopt the outstanding reports on the quarterly expenditure, and also to consider the draft oversight program, Chair.
It means there's fireworks next week. Okay, Valerie, members should come back prepared. Let's see how best can we handle that situation. Otherwise, thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned until next week here at the same platform. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful
day. Thank you, members.
Thank you. It was a delight.
Mkhayezo. Mkhayezo, re tla tla mono provinceng ya Bokone Bophirima. Re tla o thusa Mkhayezo.
Nka lebogile thata, Chair.
Ange Mkhayezo, ntso ya hantle ka taba tsa sekolo.
I've always been progressive on that front, Chair. I've never failed myself. Everything is going well.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald, and everybody, long live.
I'm looking forward to the statement about the accident, Jefferson. Thank you very much.
As you have instructed, thank you.
Long live the chair, long live.
Thank you.